Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q2 2014 results for Sunrise Communications conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you this call is being recorded today, on Thursday the 21st of August 2014. I would now like to hand over to your speaker, Mr. Uwe Schiller. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sunrise Communications Holdings Q2 H1 financial results call. With me today is Libor Fonchina, CEO, André Krause, CFO, Tim Degenhardt, Chief Marketing Officer, and we also have Stefan Kern, our new Head of Corporate Communication, on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Libor, who starts the presentation, and then followed by Tim and André.
Thank you, Uwe. Hello, everybody. I'm very excited to share with you our Q2 development and results at Sunrise. Just before going into the details, I would just like to go through the highlights of the quarter and just summarize some of them. We have had a successful launch of new both mobile and fixed line offers and were able to accelerate the growth momentum. We have in Q2 continue to grow our subscriber base, both in mobile and TV. And on back of the positive momentum in our subscriber base, we have returned to positive revenue growth in last quarter, which was 5.6% year over year. We continue, and also in Q2, we have continued to have high level of investments in the areas of infrastructure primarily, but also customer service and innovation to further support and accelerate our growth. All that momentum has translated also in growth on the revenue side and the on operating profits. And our LTM EBITDA in Q2 was up 1.4%. Up to 613 million Swiss francs. Our operating cash flow was 66 million, which was mainly impacted by anticipated change in working capital. Now, for the call, we would like to go and share with you further details that are behind the growth momentum, both on the actual growth. We will go also through the financial performance, but let me first just start with how are we set up to deliver value, and it's basically a follow-up that has been red line through whole 2013. We continue and we do continue to invest in the infrastructure, in the customer care, continue to invest and launch customer-relevant innovation in all of the services. And between the two, we basically are able to generate growth momentum in the front end. Both that drives non-financial and financial KPIs. And let me just go through this to give you some more details of what we have done in each of the cornerstones for value generation in quarter two this year. We have continued to roll out the LTE network and continue to increase our backhaul capacity as well as the mobile core. It resulted in close to 300 million LTM CapEx investment and in increase in our capacity for the customer care. We have launched new customer-relevant innovations in the area of mobile with Sunrise Freedom, which we have launched in April. And have been able to, after the launch, still within the quarter, to generate more than 150,000 new subscribers. We have launched Sunrise Home just at the end of the quarter, but already in the weeks following, we've seen a increase, 25% increase of weekly orders, and we have also added converged fixed and mobile packages through Sunrise Advantage. So the growth momentum on the subscribers, as well as the improved customer experience, which was basically the net promoter score that we measure, improved across all the business segments. So I would say the front end performance indicator have also resulted in Q2 in revenue and EBITDA growth. Revenue of Q2 was 526 million Swiss francs, which is a 5.6% year-over-year growth, and EBITDA had a 5.7% year-over-year growth. Now, I would like to hand it over to Tim Degenhardt to give you insights in how have we, with the market initiative, what are the market initiatives that have helped us create the growth momentum in last quarter. Tim?
Yes, thank you, Libor. And good afternoon to all. On the next three pages, I'd like to take you through some more information about our new offers for the residential market for mobile, fixed line, and convergence, which are, as Libor has outlined, helping us to drive some momentum on the market. Why are these propositions successful? Why are they working? Number one, because they are based on important consumer insights and needs of transparency, fairness, and customer orientation. And number two, they are clearly differentiating us in the market, giving us really some headroom for also further develop this. So if you turn to page number five, which is an explanation of our Sunrise Freedom new mobile range, if you look on the right hand side, it is based on the three customer needs. Number one, it's a very fair new way of dealing in mobile contracts, because we have abolished as first operator in Switzerland 12 or 24 months contract durations. This is a deep key insight of our customers, of the customers in the Swiss markets. They don't like to be bound by long contracts. So the no obligations, no commitment value proposition is really resonating with our customers. Number two, it's also very attractive because customers can, in the new freedom world, change their handset at any point in time, which is also new for the Swiss market. Secondly, it's very transparent. We are separating on the bill the cost for the device plan and the service plan, so the customer always has a clear view on what he is paying for or she is paying for. And third, it's very customer-oriented. It's very flexible. You can always change your plan up or down. It's very simple because it's basically flat rates with most services included, and it's very competitively priced also for the device plans. The new model as such was received very favorably by many stakeholder groups, including the consumer associations. They have indeed given us also some endorsements on this. In particular, I have highlighted the Compares one because it's an important comparison website that is really being looked at by many consumers. And they have really looked at this as a key differentiator in the Swiss market for Sunrise. That has helped us, of course, to generate subscribers on the Freedom Tariff world. Libor has already communicated that within 12 weeks we had about 150,000 or over 150,000 subscribers. And we have also been able to increase our gross adds by more than 30% year on year. On top of that, we can see now very clearly that there is also a difference of the customers being on the new price plan in terms of NPS, and it's being rated 18 points better than any other price plan. If you now move to the next page, page six, this is our new Sunrise Home portfolio. which we launched in the end of the quarter. Again, it's building on the same insights that we get from our customers. It's fair and transparent. Basically, you can package exactly what you need, and you only always pay for what you really need. This is the only portfolio really that does it in the Swiss market, where you can pick and choose on the fixed line side the components that are important to you. And this is also quite attractive to the consumer. It's also very flexible, because when you are within the contract, you can always change either to more broadband or less broadband. You can add, for example, a flat fee for Swiss voice, or you can go to a pay-as-you-go model, and you can also change your TV product, which is either the Comfort TV product or the Start TV product, and therefore you can always, within contract duration, also change to what exactly you need. It is very easy. It's very simple. It's simple for the customer to understand. It's simple for the sales force to sell. And this is also one of the reasons why it's gaining quite some good momentum in terms of the sales side. And as you can again see from the quote that Comparis has given to this new launch, this is today also the best deal in the market in terms of pricing. So it's very attractively priced, and it clearly repositions us as a challenger in the fixed line market. Libo has referred to it. We have seen a strong increase in the weekly orders already, 25% week over week, in what we usually see as the summer is usually quite a period for fixed line. So we're very happy with this one. And to top it up, we of course now also are able to offer up to 100 megabit lines for all our customers being in a fiber area. If you now turn to the next page, this is how we put the whole thing together, of course, from a customer perspective. Here is a unique convergence advantage which helps us to cross-sell our wireline products to our mobile customers and the other way around. And we have made it, again, very, very simple, because customers, they like it simple, and we have given it basically a 10% discount month over month on the base fees for all the products that you take with us, so that we also encourage customers to take more and more lines with us as they grow as a family also, for example. So here again, the three critical points. It's very fair, because the more you spend with us, the more also you benefit as a customer. The advantage is always very transparently shown on the bill. It's very simple to see, very clear. And we always are able to give additional attractiveness through this convergence advantage to our overall proposition. So it's easy to understand and very unique in the market. It helps also our cross and upsell path. With this, I would like to give to Andre.
Yes, thanks, Tim, and hello, everybody on the call. I would like to talk you through how the investments and all of the innovations that we have shown you have actually driven the financial and non-financial KPIs in terms of momentum. And let's first start with the customer experience KPIs. On operations, so our call center activities, we have made quite some substantial improvements. We have increased capacity in all call centers by 25%. We have simplified the call routing and handling, and we have also improved the onboarding and coaching of new agents. And as a result, you can see that both actually the solving rate and also the accessibility, both two are parameters that we publicly actually give transparent to our customers and to the outside world every day. So you can actually look it up on our website, how we are actually doing. And you can see that these numbers have improved substantially since a year ago. On the solving rate, we are approaching the 80%, which is our target that we have set And that actually means that 80% or 77% actually of customer issues are solved immediately on the first call. And the 92% accessibility also means that 92% of calls are handled within a very short time frame, and thus waiting times have reduced substantially. And I think this well reflects the investments and activities that we have driven to improve our call center operations. On the other hand side, we also have worked extensively to improve the customer experience by actually becoming more customer friendly, and we have used an NPS pass for doing so. We actually have implemented NPS quite successfully, as you can see from the numbers. We have introduced a closed-loop feedback from our customers, which means that call center agents as well as shop agents, but also employees across the entire organization do call back customers on their feedback that those customers have given, no matter whether that's good feedback or bad feedback, and we actually try to understand how we can improve our activities. So that also does not only fuel insights on how we can do better, but also sharpens our focus on the customer and gives us a very close feedback. And as a result of that, you can see how the NPS feedback that we receive from our customers has substantially improved from a year ago. Both on the call centers, we have an improvement of 20%, and also on the shops, we have a substantial improvement of 30%. We started that activity a bit more than a year ago, and we do believe that this is quite a substantial improvement that we have been able to achieve. This is important because this also drives our ability to maintain customers that we are winning for as long as possible, i.e. to reduce churn over time, and also to not only need to spend money in marketing exercises, but also to create word of mouth from customer to customer, which helps us also to drive customer growth. You see some other comments on the slide, like we have in the meantime also reduced the complaints received on premium SMS by 90%, so premium SMS at this point in time is no longer a big of an issue. Also, the shop waiting times have substantially reduced, and that, of course, has also helped to improve the NPS. And you see also the amount of complaints filed at the Ombudscom have substantially reduced. So on all of the key parameters, we have made a substantial progress and improvement. Now, let's have a look at the subscriber growth, and you have heard some of the numbers already. Let's have a look first on how the mobile subscriber base has been growing. You see at the end of the second quarter, we are reaching a total mobile subscriber base of 2,487,000. Effectively, we have been growing our postpaid subscriber base by 13,000 net additions. And also, we were able to more stabilize our prepaid customer base development. We have seen a slight decline of 3,000 customers in the quarter, but compared to the previous quarters, that's a much improved trend towards the decline that we have seen in the previous ones. Secondly, not only the growth, of course, is important, but also the value generated from those customers. So let's have a look at the ARPU. And here on the ARPU side, you see that there's a slight increase quarter on quarter, similar to the one that we have seen from Q1 to Q2 a year ago. So that is also related to seasonal patterns. But what is more important, that overall there is a stabilization trend, which is also reflecting the fact that our backbook repricing of customers migrating to new price points has slowed down and is more or less coming to an end, and that is helping the stabilization and even quarter on quarter the slight increase. On this chart, we actually are introducing today two new KPIs or definitions. The first one is on ARPU, and following the introduction of the Freedom Tariff, which effectively decouples the hardware and the service revenues, we actually try to come forward with an ARPU definition that allows you to use the stated ARPU for Q2 and to have a fair like-for-like comparison with the previous quarters, which we do in a way that we actually use the service ARPU plus the in-the-month and quarter billed hardware installments for the customers, and that is a very fair reflection of what we had in the past. If you want and need more information, you can also refer to our financial report, where in detail we actually explain the different effects and how the definitions are compiled. The second change you see on the left-hand side, which is the introduction of the postpaid primary and secondary SIM card count. And for a bit more of explanation, I would like to draw your attention to the next slide, where we have come forward with an explanation of what's happening. Now, effectively, more and more customers are not only using one device, their normal handset, which they also use for phone and for phoning and also messaging and surfing, but we have more and more second and third devices coming to the equation. We are actually covering this by also having products and tariffs in our portfolio which allow for multi-SIM and data SIM solutions. And what we feel and what we see is actually that these additional SIM cards that we are bringing in are clearly postpaid contracts, but in many instances are not actually having the same value than, let's say, the primary SIM card, which is the typical mobile phone. So in this respect, we actually decided to give you a little bit more visibility and insight on how the quality of the postpaid customer base is evolving. And this we are doing by splitting out the postpaid primary SIMs and the postpaid secondary SIMs, i.e. all of these data and also multi-SIMs that we are having. Now, this is also quite important to understand the growth momentum that we as a business on the postpaid side are currently having. And you can see if we take a split on the net adds on the postpaid arena generated in the past quarters, then within the second quarter we have generated 13,000 postpaid net adds, as already told. Of those, we see 12,000 primary ones and 1,000 secondary ones. So the value split of that net additions is substantially higher than what you have seen in the prior quarters, even though the absolute number was higher, but the primary amount of SIM cards in that is substantially improved. And that is a clear reflection of the momentum that Tim and Libor have referred to in regards to our ability to drive new customers with a new Freedom portfolio. So this is a new KPI that we have introduced, and we believe actually gives you more visibility and also understanding on the value of our postpaid subscriber base, and gives you more opportunity to also understand the growth momentum that we as a business are generating. Now, with that, I would like to turn to the fixed line business development. And here you have heard about the introduction of the home portfolio, and here the timing is very important. You heard that we introduced it during the course of June. And as we have launched it in June, and you have seen that some of the order intake numbers have substantially improved by more than 25% recently on a week-by-week basis, the order to activation conversion takes a while, because customers usually actually file their orders, but then they are either already or have still a line with somebody else and still need some time to disconnect and connect with us, or we have a migration pass that also takes some time. So in this regard, there's a lead time for seeing these orders really flowing through in activations. And why I'm telling you all of this is, as a matter of fact, therefore the home portfolio did not really have a major impact on our overall fixed line development in the second quarter. And as a result of that, we have not yet turned around the overall subscriber development, which is still negative. And you see that we have a further decline from 340,000 fixed line subscribers to 330,000 subscribers. But the order intake that we have seen actually gives a quite positive outlook for actually what should be expected for the future quarters. What we actually have been able to continue is the positive development on the TV side. Here you see an addition of another 6,000 subscribers in the second quarter, now approaching 90,000 TV subscribers on the TV side. In terms of value, looking at the ARPU development, both for the internet only and for the blended internet and TV ARPUs, we have positive developments. On the internet only, plus 740.1 Swiss francs of ARPU, and on the blended internet and TV, plus 14% growth year on year. And the two key drivers, as we explained also in the previous quarters, are the drive for more bandwidth from the customers, but also, of course, the drive to TV, which adds a revenue on the TV side and therefore drives up the ARPU. So with that, I would like to actually go on with how this impacts our overall financial development and move to the financial performance section. And here on slide number 14, firstly, let's have a look at the revenue development. On revenue, year on year, we see a growth of 6% or 28 million. The key drivers here are, of course, the growth momentum and also the reduced customer migration effects, which help. But also we have more equipment sales on the back of the hardware decoupling and also more hardware margins, which help us to actually improve our top-line performance. And looking on EBITDA, of course, this positive top-line trend also reflects then in a positive bottom-line development, where additionally we also have been able, through the hardware decoupling, also to reduce our subscriber acquisition and in particular also the subscriber retention costs. And in this regard, we were able to also increase our EBITDA by 6% or 9 million year on year. On an LTM perspective, that would mean that by end of the second quarter, we are reaching an LTM EBITDA of 613 million, which is an improvement of 1.4% compared to the first quarter, which ended at 604 million. Let's have a look at the investments. So the CapEx side, we refer to the continued high level of investment, and you heard the LTM figure of almost 300 million that we have invested by the end of the first half year. Effectively, in the half year comparison, we see an increase of 16.1%, and also the CapEx to revenue ratio has increased to 12.4%. You see the split of the investments of the 114 million in the first half year. So the vast majority of the 114 million is flowing into the mobile network here. We talked about the coverage extensions, the LTE rollout, the backhaul, and also the core development that we did. We also continue to invest into the landline and, of course, also the innovations that we have driven in the second quarter in particular have also called for quite some IT investments, 11 million in the first half year. Now with that, we have a more detailed slide on the overall P&L in a quarter and also half year comparison. I think the majority of those numbers are for your reference. I would like to draw your attention to the cash flow and also working capital development. You've heard about the 66 million operating free cash flow we have generated in the second quarter. And here I think the comparison also for the quarter and for the half year is important to distinguish two different effects. And you see in the working capital that there's in the half year there's a loss of working capital of 133 million, while in the second quarter there's 34 million. So you see the majority of that working capital loss has occurred already in the first quarter, and it is driven mainly by our CapEx shape. And we talked about the 297, of which 114 million are driven by the first half year 2014. So there was substantially higher CapEx in the second half year of 2013. And this has, of course, then also driven a cash outflow in the first quarter. And this has driven down the working capital figure in the first quarter in particular. While the impact on the second quarter is more driven by the Freedom introduction, and you can also find in our detailed financials that at this point in time, at the end of the half year, we have 20 million of non-current trade receivables, which is due to the hardware decoupling and the installment rate plans, which do not drive the same cash conversion as in the past. Now, that is, of course, also quite important in terms of cash development and leads me to the net debt and leverage ratio development. In total, you see on the next slide that our total debt figure has reduced, while our cash position has also reduced. And as a result, we see a minor deterioration of our leverage ratio from 3.6 to 3.8 times. On an MCIG level, we see a level of 4.7 to 4.8 times. And additionally, for the PIC toggle, important, our net income basket at the end of the half year is at 55.2 million, so quite sufficient to actually cater for the needs of the PIC toggle node. So with that, I think we come to the closure of the financial performance. And before I hand over to Libor, I think all of the financials actually show a quite strong inflection point towards positive trends. And I think it also reflects the results of the investments and of the work that has been done in the past periods to create a good momentum that also creates a positive trend in the financials. And with that, and for the conclusion, I hand over to Libor.
Thank you. Thank you, Andre. As you've heard, you know, also for me personally, Q2 was an exciting quarter. We have seen the fruits of actually not just the last quarters, but you know, the last 4 or 5 quarters where we have been focusing on investing into the mobile and fixed network and achieving some key milestones, and also putting, as you've heard, putting to work both the frequencies that we have acquired as well as the partnership that we have with Hawaii in order to really build the Lighthouse network, mobile network, and also improving our fixed network one. We have been investing in the customer experience, which is an area where, you know, we already last year said there's a catch-up area where we have not followed the growth path enough, and we have you know, clearly demonstrated that the catch-up that we have done, all the activities we have done, are paying off in tangible results. Importantly, on the launching customer-relevant innovations on the market, both Freedom as on the mobile side, as well as Sunrise Home and Sunrise Advantage, they have you know, really you know, met and surpassed our expectation. And we have been able to see on the back of that growth momentum of you know, growing customer base, both on mobile and on the fixed side. For now, only TV, but we are post. We have put the thing in place also to you know, the first indicators have shown changes in the wireline customers. The importance of the customer experience and the focus of the total company on customer experience is there. We measure it, and it is very important that because it helps us strengthen the Sunrise brand on the Swiss market. And we've seen the Q2 has also clearly driven a positive business trends both on revenue and EBITDA. And we have, of course, as a challenger, maintained a stringent cost discipline. So for me, the Q2 was an important quarter. Sunrise has returned to growth, and I really see a strong momentum that allows Sunrise to capture the value of the investments that we have done over the past period. And I think with this, I will hand over the conference to Uwe.
Yeah, thanks, Libor, Tim and Andre, talking us through the presentation. I would now like the operator to open the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel this request, please use the hash key. Once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Your first question today comes from the line of Jean-Yves Goubert from BNP Paribas. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you very much. congratulations on your strong mobile net adds reported in Q2. On the broadband France, the loss in terms of broadband customers slightly accelerated in Q2. I take your point that with Sunrise Home, hopefully this the trend should improve for the next quarter. Does that mean that we should expect a lower rate of loss in terms of broadband customers, or could we even expect some growth in terms of positive in positive territory? And with respect to the Sunrise Advantage introduction, how would you account the 10% discount between your mobile revenue and fixed line revenue? So if you can just precise that, and should we expect therefore some possible, slight pressure on your ARPU, depending obviously on the traction of new customers adopting this package, discounted package. On your, it's going to be a second question. Is there are so many moving parts in terms of revenue and operating expenses in Q2 versus Q1. So I would like just to come back on the impact of the change in the fact that you now unbundle the contract depending on the type of revenue. So I understand that lead in Q2 to an increase in equipment revenue, which ballpark figure I would estimate on a sequential basis plus 50 million. I'm trying to estimate what could be the net impact through the EBITDA. If I assume everything else being equal, the sequential increase in your transmission cost and cost of goods sold and other external expenses in Q2 versus Q1 is plus 25 million. So that I could derive potentially a plus 25 million positive net impact from your change in accounting from the adoption of IFRS 15. But could you please confirm or elaborate a bit further on that front? And my last question on working capital, I understand the negative, the outflow related to the Sunrise Freedom, so in terms of receivables. Could you please come back on the minus 35 million again in outflow in trade payables? So I understand in Q1 it was related to the high capex incurred in H2 13, but what about the minus 35 million negative outflow in Q2 14, please? Thank you very much.
Okay, quite some questions. So let me start off with the first one on the fixed line momentum. I think we disclosed everything that we want to disclose on the fixed line piece at this point in time. I will not give you any kind of fixed line guidance, but what is clearly visible is that the order intake has improved, and we also have done quite many internal improvements so that also churn figures should come down. And as a result, you can actually make your own estimation, but we are not giving any forward-looking guidance on this. In regards to the 10% discount, Uwe, you want to...
Yeah, I mean, the first comment would be that the Sunrise Advantage is not something what we have introduced. We have that for quite a while, but we have made it much more simpler and much easier to understand for our customers. And it is accounted according to IFRS fair value of the individual products and then distributed as a discount into the revenue lines. I hope that is answering your question. So we take a fair value approach of the individual product that gives us a percentage share of the total bucket, and the discount is distributed according to that percentage share. But as I said before, we have that for quite a while, but the customer, it was difficult to understand because the discount was related to how much mobile the customer was taking from us, and we have restructured that with our principles of being fair but also very transparent and very easy to understand.
So if the discount is easier to understand, and if there are more traction in terms of customer intake, could it lead to some slight negative impact on ARPU? I mean, assuming volume remains the same.
I mean, here I also have to say that we do not provide forward-looking statements, and it is already, yes, it has been redesigned, but before that, we had, depending on how much, on how big your mobile share was, we had also already discounts between 20, I think, and 50 Swiss francs, depending on the buckets. So there was also before substantial discounts given on converged products. So therefore, I don't think there's a big financial impact on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Secondly, while we are with accounting, I would like at least to address one thing. We have not adopted IFRS 15, and quite honestly, that would be totally unreasonable to have that one. The standard has just been released. It is required to be introduced for financial year starting, I think, on 1st of January 2017. And I think it is a very complicated standard. It will change not only the telecommunications industry, but a range of other industries. And therefore, you know, we have not applied in Q2 any accounting changes. We have introduced a new product and accounted that one on the accounting principles we have been consistently applying over the last quarters. So IFRS 15 has not been early introduced for Sunrise.
Okay, but coming back to the fact that you nonetheless now stop the subsidizing model and you account your hardware revenue as on a separated line, that obviously because you need to account the onset revenue fully when you provide the onset to the customers, that has contributed to increase your revenue line. Is that it?
Yes, it is correct, but we also actually are selling the hardware at a higher margin, which also drives value. And on the other hand side, we have a positive effect on the OPEX part as we do not have the same amount of subscriber acquisition and retention costs. And that's, I mean, effectively, you can see we have made extensive disclosure in our Q2 financial report, and we are also not the first one introducing it. You find very similar mechanics at, for example, T-Mobile US recently. So I think you can look at that. And then, I mean, we will not give any further information than what we have disclosed in the Q2 financial report to answer your question on the unbundling piece.
Okay.
And on working capital, the vast majority of the minus 35 million in the third quarter is related to the Freedom launch. There's a little bit, again, that comes from the CapEx spending pattern because we had relatively more IT spent in the second quarter than in the second quarter last year, and that actually comes with a different payment term, and therefore there's a little bit of a mixed iteration of the payment terms, and that has driven some slight additional working capital outflow, but the vast majority is actually driven by the Freedom impact.
And that should reverse as far as the payable, the change in payable are concerned, that should reverse in H2?
Well, in general, it will reverse if we are no longer growing the model, and it also will reverse once we are introducing a factoring facility.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from the line of Stanley Martinez from Legal and General Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. So just continuing on that last point with respect to working capital usage, all right, I take your point that the Freedom Plan drove much of the working capital usage in Q2 and that in Q1 that was related, you know, to the timing of CapEx as we talked about on the last quarter's call. But as we look to this seasonally heavier half two for gross additions, should we extend this cadence between working capital usage and gross additions into the second half of the year? Or at what point do you expect that minus 133 million francs will start to reverse?
Well, I will not give, again, forward-looking guidance on that figure as well. What we clearly can say is we are, of course, working on, as I said, a factoring agreement, and also as we are expecting a similar spending development in this year compared to last year, also the relative development of the working capital should smoothen. Yeah, but I think these are the key trends to have in mind. And we are working on a factoring agreement at this point in time. Can't really tell you exactly by what point in time we're going to introduce it, but it will be in a very timely manner.
Okay, great. Just a couple of other points then. First, in terms of full-time equivalent employees, the headcount is back up above year-end 2012 levels, and I presume that's related to the customer care and marketing initiatives. But, of course, the last time that we were, you know, up at these levels above 1,800, there were some restructuring costs. Are any such things contemplated now?
No. Well, actually, there are two drivers, and you pointed out correctly one element, which is we did some insourcing, and we also actually increased our capacity on the sales and on the operations front. But at the same time, and that's quite a big impact, is actually the acquisition of Lebara and Ortel, which on a year-on-year comparison is not fully reflected in the first half year of 2013. So therefore, there's also a technical increase that comes from that one. And at this point in time, there is absolutely no plans for anything similar like you have seen in the past.
Okay, great. And then lastly, Andre, since we're in a public forum, might you care to take this opportunity to update investors on your thoughts on refinancing plans, either on a first lien basis at Sunrise or at Mobile Challenger, or is the latter still tied up in your thoughts towards a potential flotation?
No, starting off with your last one, so firstly, we do not comment on any such thing, but we always said that it's a natural activity for a PE-backed company to look at potential options, and an IPO is a potential one on that, as well as other sale opportunities, but there is no news to share at this point in time.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from the line of Fabrizio Marchesi from Pramerica. Please ask your question.
Hi, just three questions. First one is, how much of the 5.6% revenue growth year-on-year was due to acquisitions? Two, gross profit was down 2% year-over-year. That's for the seventh quarter consecutive, despite the revenue growth. Can you just give me some better flavor as to why that continues? And three, EBITDA was up, but I guess part of that is because overheads were kind of the lowest level since 2010. Just curious, I mean, it looks a bit like just quarter over quarter movements really in overheads drove EBITDA. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. Okay. So I see all of your questions quite related to each other. So I try to give you probably a combined answer. So the key thing, what is happening to our financial performance? We have a couple of let's say investments on the OPEX side that we have been doing and that are actually impacting our cost run rates. We talked about the insourcing. And the investments we have done on the customer care side, and that clearly is, of course, also driving some cost increases. On the other hand side, there are quite some positives, and the first one is we have a positive trend, and this is in regards to also your GOGP question. On gross profit, we do see that the rate of decline is actually coming down as we are ending the migrations of the customers towards the new price points. We also do see that we have an impact from the higher hardware sales and the higher hardware margins that we are actually able to generate within the Freedom World. And related to your overhead question, there is a massive impact as we are actually taking out substantial acquisition and retention costs and have the hardware model substantially changed. So there is a substantial change in the overall business model, which actually I understand makes it quite complicated for you to understand the inner workings, but effectively our acquisition and retention costs have substantially reduced. So all of these effects are driving the positive development on EBITDA.
Right, but just one quick question. So the acquisition impact, that's going to fall out as of Q3, right? Unless you make another acquisition. But from Q3 onwards, you won't have any more impact of the acquisitions you made last year, right?
Sorry. That part I didn't get. So you're referring to the Lebara and Ortel acquisition.
Yes.
I think we have stopped to split that out because it has actually become increasingly complicated for us to really see what the impact is, as we have combined the asset in one asset that also includes a former Sunrise brand with Yallo. And so we are actually managing that now under one P&L, which makes it more or less impossible to really give you an exact figure of what that impact is. But yes, that there is a slight impact, a positive one, which will no longer be available in the third quarter. But it did not really drive the change on the EBITDA trajectory.
Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from the line of Jahanzeb Hassan from Blue Bay Asset Management. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. A couple of questions. I think at the last quarter, you mentioned that 90% of your mobile subscribers were on to new price plans. Can you just give us an updated figure for that that number today? And if I try and strip out the handset sales, it looks like mobile service revenues have sort of stagnated their decline at 1% year-over-year, sort of same level as Q1. And as Fabrizio just mentioned, there's a little bit of a benefit you're still gaining from acquisitions. So, you know, while I understand you cannot disclose how much impact acquisitions are giving you there, can you at least give us some indication of what steps you're taking that you think are going to drive an improvement in underlying mobile service revenue trends? Because so far we've seen the impact from Freedom primarily on the handset side, I guess. And then the last question is, given that you're halfway through the year, are you confident yet about giving us a full year CapEx envelope? Thank you.
Okay, so on the last one, I will not give guidance on the full year CapEx envelope, but you've seen an LTM figure, so I think that gives you some indication. On the 90%, effectively, we haven't done a final calculation recently, but from the numbers that I've seen, I would expect that we are probably at the 95 level or even beyond that, but there is, of course, quite a reminder level of people that probably never will migrate. And then coming to the handset sales and the overall mobile service revenue, yes, it's true. There is, of course, quite a substantial impact from the handset sales, but underlying there is also an improvement in the trend of compared to the second quarter, which is driven by the impact of the majority of customers have been migrated. So in this regard, we do see a positive trend development. And not sure I got your last one or your third one.
I think that was my question, just saying that this mobile service revenue trend, so stripping out the impact of sales, looks like it's flattened at 1%, right?
Okay.
And how do you think how are you going to bring that into hopefully, you know, growth at some point?
Yeah, I think here very clearly we see that the decline is actually softening down, and of course from the rate of new acquisitions, of course we think that there is a good opportunity to reverse that trend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sebastian Reinders from ING. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. In your notes, in your statements, I see that you've extended your cross-currency swap for the FX exposure in your senior floating notes. Does that mean that you expect these to be outstanding until March 2015? So is it actually saying something about your attitude towards early refinancing or not?
No, not really. It was just coming out in September and we had to deal with it.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kirsten Windenhager. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. And only one from me. Regarding churn, basically I was looking at your postpaid net adds and I had the impression that those did not actually increase compared to prior quarters, whilst obviously you mentioned that the gross adds did quite well. So what drove the increased churn?
Well, on churn, actually there is one part that has impacted the first half year a bit, which is actually that we have given up on the rollover of contracts, which means in the past customers were automatically prolonged by another 12 months if they did not take action. We actually stopped that practice beginning of the year, and that has led to a slightly increased churn in the first half year. But that's something which is more or less, from our point of view, a small wave that probably we have already now seen in its entirety.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from the line of Laura Maidler. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Sorry, just to get back on the refinancing, do you have any plans, regardless of an IPO or anything like that, to actually call any of the bonds that are outstanding, because some of them are already callable now, others become callable very soon or before year end, and just to get an idea of what your plans are?
Well, so as I have not commented on the IPO, I will also not comment on a potential refinance. Yeah, so sorry for that one.
Okay.
All right.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Yeah. Thanks, operator, for managing the Q&A session. And thank you all for participating in our call. And I guess we speak to each other then in the next quarter again. Thanks a lot, and bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.